Let's move right quickly and expeditiously. This morning we have some other matters to involve ourselves in this morning before we dismiss for today. So let's quickly move into our essence of our dissertation. We are on the tail end now. We are moving maybe two or three more at the most, maybe two more after today. We shall complete this document, the glorious body of Christ, the church. Then we will pass out to you our eternal union in Christ, some 20-some pages of that, which we will sometimes in the future deal with that, but we will pass that out to you. I'm going to wait, amen, until everyone gets back from vacation. Amen. All right. Let us begin in our base verses in Galatians chapter 3. Elder Lieberman is our designated reader. Beginning at verse 26 to 29, which is the base of our dissertation. Then we will move into Colossians chapter 2. We had moved down through verse 12 in the context of verses 9 through 13. And hopefully today we will basically begin in verse 13 in conveying what the Spirit of God is giving light and enlightenment to concerning who we are in Christ. Amen. Who we are in Christ. I can't think of anything that is more important than us comprehending who we are in Christ. That's the beginning to your progress in God. For whatever ails you and whatever is wrong, amen. We begin with the indicative. We give the facts. The Holy Spirit gives the illumination. And this is what encourages your heart to do the right thing. Rather than me standing here telling you the do's and the don'ts. Because invariably, I'm going to forget some of the do's and the don'ts. Amen. And if you don't hear it, you figure, well, maybe if I didn't hear it, that means it doesn't apply. Right. Amen. But it is the flesh. We are encapsulated in the prey flesh. And it is the flesh. It is the flesh. Amen. Wherein sin is condemned. And the way sin is eventually eradicated is that the flesh is destroyed. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
So we are not just interested in becoming uncomfortable with some of the works of the flesh, but we are basically to abhor the flesh.
Right.
Amen. The entire flesh.
All right.
Let us look at first Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Everybody has that. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, reader, read.
Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Uh-huh.
There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male and female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
My Lord. Now, every time we read that, there's more enlightenment and illumination. Amen. As what is expressed there is who we are. Who we are is based upon where we are located. And also it tells how we got there. Amen. And everything that is read there concerning who you are, and everything about it is in the eternal realm of what God did for you in eternity. We are not participants in anything that was just read. Amen. We are passive in this matter. All right, for the sake of time, let us move to second chapter of Colossians. Although we're going to read verses 9 through 13, amen, and hopefully, like I say, we hope to focus on verse 13 today, amen, as we come into the waning section of this dissertation. All right? Everyone has Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, say amen. All right, read.
Colossians 2:9. Mm-hmm. For him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him.
I got to stop there. Amen. You are complete in him. We've gone over this. And again, as I was expressing to the Sunday school this morning, what you are completely in him right now. You're not trying to be. We're not wannabes or trying to be based upon our efforts. Amen. You are, in spite of your depraved self. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realm. Amen. We are in time, encapsulated in depraved flesh and bodies, but amen. God has already worked that out, because we shall be separated from these bodies, and these bodies shall be destroyed. Amen. But God has, from the beginning, placed us in Christ, the new man. Nothing is wrong with the new man. So you are complete in him now. Not, amen, after a while. Not in the, quote, by and by. You are complete in him now. Ah, amen. That is in the essence of where we are now. And even more than that, where we have always been. That's where your home always has been. Not from the day you believed, not from the day that you said a sinner's prayer, or you did whatever you think you did. Get in this body, because you did not do anything to get in this body. As the readings from Galatians that we just read was certified. All right, keep reading, Alvin.
In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands,
mm-hmm.
and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh.
Putting off the entire body, that's the circumcision, amen, that he speaks of. You identified with the identification that does not entail the flesh of anything physical. And it is described by that which has put off the body of the sins. Here they use, for the sake of English, they use the gerund pudding, but actually that is an adjective. If you look, this is why I want everyone to get a Greek Bible at some point. That is describing, that is stronger than a participle. A participle is a verb adjective. That is an adjective. Amen. That is there for the scripted purpose only, to let us know what not hand wrought or not physical mean. Not physical mean that the body, amen, has no part in it. And this is the essence of our hope, that we are in Christ Jesus in glorified form,
yes.
Actualization-wise, manifestation. We are looking toward the day, amen, when we shall realize what God has actually done for us. But right now, we identify with it. to identify with it, we must understand that we are identifying with that which is absorbed of the flesh. So we don't get the old man mixed up with the new man. Amen. The new man is complete in Christ. The old man is condemned. Oh my God, hallelujah. Oh my God, if God's people, when they read, could just come to the grips with knowing that there is no merit, no value in the flesh. All right, read verse 12.
Bear it with him in baptism,
mm-hmm.
wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
Now we have gone over that again. Here, this term is again speaking and has reference to identification. So we're not talking about a physical baptism, neither are we talking about a physical burial.
Right.
Amen. And as you read further, we're not talking about a physical resurrection, but our identification with the him. And here the key is the last part speaks of the works of the operations of God and raising him from the dead. And this is what we are identifying with. This is all spiritual. Physically, this wouldn't make any sense. Let's just begin to use your imagination. And you know what we've said about imagination. Mm-hmm. All right, verse 13 is, we finally, today we'll focus upon it. I want you to pay very close attention as that is now read. Verse 13.
And you, being dead in your sins,
mm-hmm.
and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Now, if you do not understand the flow of the context, you will read this and think in a physical sense in the plane of time, and this will dominate what you think that this is conveying. Amen. But if you go back up into verse 11, verse 12, as we've said, and we look at what the actual intended flow and cogitation is, you will understand that when you look at to verse 13, you are still in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, Elder, I want you to take your Greek Bible, and I want you to read the King James again. Then I want you to slowly read from the Greek text, that one verse, verse 13. There's much there to be gleaned, and I hope within the time that we have allotted today that we can hopefully be able to convey that to a portion, at least up to the time that we cut off, hopefully to get through the verse. And I'm probably being a little too energetic in saying that. Probably have to come back next week, but let's begin. All right, everyone, again, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And listen very closely. He's going to read from the King James. You can follow him there. And then when he gets to the Greek, I want you to listen very closely. Although I want you to read the Greek very slowly and read it just as it is written in the manuscript. I should say, just as it would be translated directly, amen, without any editing from the transcript. All right, everyone again, it's focused on Colossians 2 and 13, say amen. All right, Elder, read first in the King James.
Colossians 2:13, King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh,
mm-hmm.
hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Okay. All right, now, very slowly. I want you to carefully. Now, this is going to help you now. So I want you to follow closely and listen. There's no greater blessing than understanding what the Word of God, amen, has said. Opinions mean nothing. My opinion means nothing. Your opinion doesn't mean anything. Amen. What is the message? What is the conveyance? All right? Listen closely. Verse 13 from the Greek text.
Colossians 2:13, Greek text. And you, dead being in the trespasses and in the uncircumcision of the flesh of you, he co-quickened you with him, forgiving you all the trespasses.
All right. Now, somehow, I don't know why, amen, even here, last part there, we'll deal with that, if not today, next week, if we don't get to it. The latter part of that, where it says, forgiving you all the trespasses, that pronoun is imin. In its declension, that should read us. I don't know why I guess he was trying to follow what would be close English flow there. But I don't know, but it basically it is imin. Go to the left a little bit and you'll see where he speaks of him quickening, making alive. You have imas, which is you. There's a difference between you and us. You is could be plural and it could be singular, but it's second person. Us is first person. Us first person plural. So there's a difference there. We'll deal with that and see what the significance of that is. Elder, I want you to read that one more time real slowly, but when you get to the last part, get to imin, forgiven, that should be forgiven us. All right, read slowly.
Colossians 2:13.
Listen closely again.
And you, dead, being in the trespasses and in the uncircumcision of the flesh of you,
mm-hmm.
He co-quickened you with him, forgiving us all the trespasses.
Amen. That throws a different light on it, doesn't it? Amen. But you got to follow what is there.
Amen.
Especially if you check it out in all the manuscripts, and it is basically said the same thing.
Amen.
You got to follow what it says. Amen. Even though it does not significantly change the conveyance, amen, of the forgiveness, whether he said you're forgiven you or forgiven us, amen, it basically is all inclusive when you say us. Amen. It's more personal. Amen. When you say us, when I could say you this, amen, I mean you, and when I say you, I'm including myself, amen, but I'm very plain if I come out and I say us. That means it's you and me. All of us. All right. As we move into this passage, as he has just read for fluid flow into English from the Greek text, the way we would basically structure a sentence, and you being dead and trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he, that is God, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us. Everybody say us. Having forgiven us all the trespasses. Now, the opening statement of this verse provides documentation that the root of the former status of all inhabitants in Christ can be traced to the fact that all were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of their flesh. As we reference Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Here we have present participle. I'm going to have to go into a little Greek here, but just hang with me. Amen. We're going to be shouting in a minute. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. We have the present participle, undas, which defines the state of being, spiritually dead. So when we speak of death here, amen, and we look at this Greek word, amen, necros, it is an adjective. It's an accusative case. So the object of what Paul is saying is that you were, which would be all of us, amen, we, amen, were dead.
Yes.
We're dead. Being dead. Amen. It is the present tense. It is a verb participle, which is an adjective, a verb adjective. So here, being is basically more than just the action word. It is descriptively saying what our being was. We were dead. Dead. Necros. Here, it speaks of being separated. And that's the true essence of what death is. Death is separation. Amen. There is the physical aspect of it, which most of us understand and can identify with, I guess. Amen. When you separate from the body, you're physically dead. We refer to the body as a corpse. Amen. Basically, acknowledging the fact that that was a temple that used to house a living spirit. Amen. And so, that has been separated from it. Amen. In the spiritual sense, which, basically more indicative of what death is to be separated from God. That's the true death. Amen. So it's separation. Amen. So what this is conveying is that all of us, amen, were dead. And the essence of God in his decree was taking that by the creed, which had been decreed, and basically in the mind of God was that which was depraved. Amen. So we were all depraved. And here the second part of that verse deals with what that depravity entails. And it's more so very important to understand. Amen. That everything that has to do with your flesh speaks of depravity, not some parts. There is no undepraved flesh. There's no holy. Y'all don't hear me. There is no holy flesh. Amen. We can pet it. We can try to excuse it. Amen. We can try to justify it. But when the day is over, flesh is flesh, and it's depraved. Amen. And God help us, amen, to stop trying to defend it. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Again, we were all brought from the former status of being dead in trespasses. And here it says the uncircumcision of flesh. Amen. This inherent state of separation is exhibited in the manifestation of human depravity, as manifested by the fact that we all abide in here we have the Greek noun, paraptomasin. Paraptomasin is rendered trespasses, which literally denotes, it means to fall or stumble.
Oh.
Amen. You may think you're doing all right, but basically, by breathing and operating in the flesh, you are in a constant state of falling and stumbling.
Yeah.
You may think you're walking, but you're not walking. Amen. Even you in the flesh, you're stumbling. Amen. And so, it means to fall or stumble beside or to fall below. And this is what the flesh does. It falls below the standard of God. Amen. Y'all don't hear me this morning. No matter who you are, if you are in the flesh, amen, and this is the state of all humanity, fallen, amen, there's none righteous, no, not one. And all unrighteousness is sin. Amen. This is what this is saying. Amen. This information is given for us, amen, to see who we are. And if we see who we are in manifestation in the flesh, it helps us to appreciate the more who we are in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason why God's people can't fully appreciate, amen, who God has made you in Christ is because you are still looking at the flesh. Amen. Not too much to write home about. Amen. When we look in the mirror and we see ourselves, we see what we do and how we act. Oh, I'm talking about all of us. Amen. There is not much to get excited about, if anything, to get excited about. If you see me in the essence, in Christ Jesus, a new man, glorified in him, amen, conferring in holiness and righteousness of the truth. I'm not talking about down the road, I'm talking about right now, amen. He is the one that my heart adores as I look at the head and recognize that the nature of God has been transferred to me.
Glory to God. Yeah.
We're not really excited about this thing because we continue to look at ourselves. And we got the old man mixed up with the new man.
Yeah.
The old man is not too pretty to look at. In fact, he's not pretty at all. In fact, he's ugly. And we look at each other and it doesn't really come out clear to say, "Woo, this is what he died for." Amen. But if we see the essence of who we are in Christ Jesus, then it brings to light just what God has accomplished through Christ Jesus.
Glory to God.
Oh my God. In him we are, outside of him we are nothing. Amen. But let's not look at the flesh. In him we are something.
Yeah.
They sing the song, but they don't really know what they're talking about. Many of them. But the song says, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. The nature of God, his holiness, his righteousness. Oh my God, the most glorious thing that God has ever made. To the point that he conveys and shows off the manifold wisdom of God
He puts it on display. The new man. Oh, my God. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And the glory is he has taken such from the Lord ebb of the depraved flesh and enrolled it in his holiness and righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. This is what's causing us to not see it. So trespasses literally means to fall below the standard of God, which entails every act that is below the standard of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Preaching. However. Yes.
This is expressive.
Amen.
Of our basic human nature.
Good.
You're doing bad by just being human. The carnal nature is the human nature. There's no difference between being carnal and being human. I know they teach us a difference. There's no difference. If you're human, you're carnal. If you're carnal, you're human. And here, the plural connotation in the word paraptomasin, translated trespasses, it depicts the inherent tendencies of all men. So according to the standard of God, we mess up all day long.
That's right.
So no such thing as I am sinning all day long. Don't ever. I know that's what's taught.
It is,
yeah. Oh, saint, to sing the song, just another day that the Lord has kept me. He has kept me from all evil, with my mind stayed on Jesus. And I said, how could they sing that? Your mind hasn't been on Jesus all day long, and you know it. And you certainly haven't been kept from evil, not in the manifested sense, but in the essence of who Christ Jesus is.
Yes.
Amen. You are encapsulated in the body of Christ, in the essence of what has been actualized in eternity, but you haven't been identified with all day. You know, you have not.
No.
Amen. Now, when we look at the statement, the uncircumcision of the flesh. Uncircumcision of the flesh. It is speaking of the sins of are in the flesh. Here you have what we call the genitive of possession. And any time you have the genitive of possession, something owns something else.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So here, this is a circumcision that is owned by the flesh. And if you say identification, so this identification is owned by the flesh. In other words, when you say identification, amen, uncircumcision of the flesh, you're saying identification that is owned by the flesh. Identification that is owned by the flesh. Not identification in Christ. Identification that is owned by the flesh. This is a manifestation of the depraved nature of mankind. The sins of the flesh. Hear me this morning. When you are conveying the word of God. The rules of parenthesis, that is exaltation, that's just the word that means exaltation. The rules of exaltation is not to go down a litany of lists of do's and don'ts, saying what you should do and what you don't do, because we're going to leave out some of the do's and absolutely we're going to leave out some of the don'ts. There's no such thing as cleaning the baby up. You got to throw the baby out with the bath water in this case. This is an indictment of the flesh. And the intent here is to not limit your uncomfortableness with the sins of the flesh. But to express it to the point where you understand that any identification with the flesh is sin. And the only way, amen, you get away from sin is to get away from the flesh. So the entire essence of the flesh has to be eliminated. Amen. And so the only time, amen, we can do that is to identify with the body and the essence of our spiritual being in Christ Jesus. There's something wrong with everybody here. All of us. All of us. And we are good at pointing at the other guy's fault. We're experts.
Yeah.
All of us have PhD degrees in criticizing others. But we draw a blank when we look at ourselves. We try to excuse it. And what this scripture is telling us is that everything that's in the flesh is sin.
That's right. Amen.
Note here, follow me now. We have the Greek noun, arovistios. Arovistios is rendered uncircumcision. It is in the singular number. The Nordic, see, that's why you don't, see, we want to say sins. So we name a few in the, no, sin, the sin nature.
Yeah.
It's more who you are than what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you do is just a result of who you are.
Wow.
It denotes sinfulness in the human nature. As sinners by nature, and that's what we are, sinners by nature, all we could ever inherently produce would be sinful acts, sinful thoughts, that are all trespasses of stumbling or falling, amen, when we try to measure up, if we juxtapose it, align it up, and compare it with the righteousness of God.
Yes.
Our problem is we have done like the Jews, and we have set a standard of righteousness.
Yes.
Amen. But Jesus even said, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees, my God. We've set up structured echelons of righteousness and holiness.
Yeah.
And it's pathetic to see those that come on the air teaching about holiness. And then you begin to look at what they're what they're saying, and the first thing you realize, they've got the new man mixed up with the old. They're calling the old man the new man. They're saying reformed old man can qualify as a new man. But no flesh can ever even enter and be placed in position in sonship in the body of Christ. No flesh can qualify. Pastor, why are you beating the flesh up so bad? Because the fellow's condemned. And you know how it is, if somebody has bad character, you don't want to identify with them, do you? Huh? And that's why we're trying to beat the flesh up. Amen. Because the object is we don't want to identify with them. Amen. That's what this is saying. Give me about 5 or 10 minutes and we're going to wind this up for the day. Yes, it's going to take me, amen, at least a couple of more hours to bring this to a conclusion. But we are sinners by nature. We're sinners by nature. And sinful nature can only produce sinful acts. Amen. And sinful acts, all sinful acts, trespass, amen, fall, amen, below the standard of the righteousness of God. So the statement and the uncircumcision of your flesh is not to be taken literally for the prepuce or the foreskin of the flesh. It's not talking here, amen, about, amen, the ceremony of circumcision. And you say, you uncircumcised. Not talking about the physical aspect of whether one is circumcised or not. What it is expressing, remember, what was given to Abraham was for a sign and token, amen, of identification. And thus, he is speaking about a sign and token of the corruption of your nature, and figuratively as being what is called the viscosity of the resistant traits of humanity, evil imagination,
yes.
All of us have it, corruption,
yes.
All of us have it, denoting pollution, all of us, loathsomeness, all of us, all of us, and abominableness of the flesh, all of us. Not some of us, all of us. Not some of us, y'all don't hear me, all of us. Here, we view the hopeless dilemma, amen, of spiritual death, rendering all men unable to extricate themselves. We must understand this also, because you're not going to appreciate what God has done for you if you don't understand the extent of what you are. You cannot appreciate the extent of what He has done.
Oh yeah, preacher. Yeah, amen.
When we view,
hallelujah,
the plight of mankind, the only plausible explanation resides in God's decree. God just did it. There was no reason for him to do it. There was no motivation for him to do it. There was no impetus outside of himself for him to do it. You understand what I'm saying? You know, many denominations, they have these different doctrines, and all of them has man doing something as a catalyst to call God to move. God did this because I did that. I tell you, human, depraved, loathsome, awesome flesh cannot move God to do anything but be separated. God is holy. And he's righteous. so, in God's decree, as I close this morning, in implementation of his purpose and will, he brought about a new creation.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God, hallelujah. In this regard, this is what we must understand, and I stop here today and I take up next week. In this regard, we cannot look at the essence of what he has done on a corporal basis. In other words, they teach that the body of Christ is some inanimate entity,
yeah,
of which depraved humans, by their own actions, sign up for. I remember the song used to sing, we won't be singing, don't mind singing it here. Sign me up for the Christian Jubilee. Write my name down on the roll. In other words, this is, amen, like you volunteer for the army. Huh? You sign. Huh? Hallelujah. Not only were you drafted, amen, oh my God. That which he places into the body is not what you see and what I see. Nowhere will you see in this scripture where he has redeemed your body. No. I'm speaking of the physical body. Nowhere. Follow me here. In this regard, all are not categorized corporately.
Glory.
Though sin had corporately subjected all to a corporal death, just by the fact that you are of Adam and have the nature of Adam, you are a sinner. And the depraved body is the result of the depraved nature that is assigned to all depraved flesh. So all human bodies were in reality mortal, and in a specified time interval must die. The world that you live in now is not the world to be. The world that we live in now is temporary. These bodies, and I don't understand as many funerals as we go to, these bodies are temporary.
Yes.
Death is a messenger.
Glory.
Physical death, amen, speaking to us every day, but we're not listening. Temporary.
Right.
Not long.
That's right. Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. Amen.
Our bodies have time clocks on them.
Glory.
And the clock is ticking one way. And it can never be turned back.
Never.
So it must die. This is due to the morality of God's decree. He created that which opposed him,
yes,
for a period, not
on.
Forever.
Come on here. Huh? Hallelujah. Right.
For a time period,
right.
Not forever. So it is due to the morality of God's decree that sin had brought a death penalty upon mankind in the moral sense. God in eternity create opposition against himself. Huh? Only for a time. Only for a period. What we are now in the flesh is against him.
That's right.
And it's only for a period. Thank God it's only for a period.
Yes.
But there's hope for you and me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's joy.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. What awaits us is in stark contrast, the very opposite of what we are now. For the praise nature becomes the very nature of God, the very opposite of what we are now. That's what our hope is. That's what the good news is. That's what the gospel is about. Not about getting this person elected and that person elected. A whole lot of so-called Christians, they say we could just get George W. in the White House. Now his rate has gone down to 40-some%. And I'm not here to talk politics one way or the other. Amen. But I'm just saying, and this is not to beat up on the president, but he's a man in human depraved flesh just like I am and you are. You cannot put your trust in, don't put your trust and your confidence in no flesh. No flesh. None. None. The sentence that was on flesh, and I guess I'm about to leave you hanging today, it entails separation from God. And as physical death, is defined as the body separated from God, from the soul, such were alienated from the life of God, and consequently must be spiritually dead. That's on this side. Next week we start off by pointing at the essence of what we have been trying to highlight all of these many months and messages, and that is your glorified position in the body of Christ. I mean, that's something beautiful. That's something glorious. That's something grand. And that's something great. And that's something we'll get into next week. God bless you.